welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with the fabulous
Celia Behar. Oh, I'm fabulous.
Just today. As okay. I said that, I hurt myself and I was trying. That's why I was like, oh, you need to say your own name. I hit my ankle.
I can. That's like one of the few names I can say.
Yeah. I mean, I do, you know, sometimes I intro you, sometimes you intro you, sometimes yeah. I intro myself as you. It's, you know.
And no matter what, it's always fucking stupid, but it's fine. At least we try and make it a little bit, you know, I don't know.
At this point, it's expected. At this point, awkward intro is part of what we do. It's part of our charm, like really. It's part of our fucking charm.
It is. Would you like to awkward intro our guest? Or do you want me to?
I would. That's another specialty of mine. Awkward intros and awkward segues are really something I do well. So let's do both and introduce today's guest, Aaron Abramowitz, who is a fabulous divorce attorney and also friend of ours through one of our fellow mamas.
Yep.
And welcome, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely.
Moving on.
So today's episode is, Aaron is a divorce attorney. And as some of you may have heard, I have, you know, had my rough trials and tribulations with marriage and divorce.
Wait, I'm sorry. Have you been divorced?
I have. Three times. What can I say? I'm an eternal optimist and idiot, maybe. No.
Well, and obviously I'm also divorced and Aaron helped me a lot during my divorce. Not only did I learn a lot, about the process, but you know, I felt so unbelievably lucky to have Aaron as a resource to be able to, you know, go to, which by the way, I still do go to him, but, you know, and ask him 9,000 questions. But it was so helpful because divorce is, you know, obviously you don't get married thinking you're going to get divorced. It's unbelievably overwhelming. It's certainly a topic that comes up in the mom group a lot and nobody really ever wants to ask anything about it, you know, directly most of the time, because they don't want to out the fact that they're thinking about getting divorced. So I will say that before we even start the episode, we did pull the mama group to ask some questions. They obviously will be, you know, anonymous because we had a lot of them and it was really, you know, Aaron, I can't really imagine what you must deal with, because I even know the first time I showed up at your house and I was like, I think I have to get divorced. And I like had to like, just the, like telling you everything was so hard to just, you know, tell another human being as I'm laying it on the table and I'm hearing myself say it. I'm also like, wait, why have I actually been married for so long? Like this was like, you know, well, you must hear crazy shit.
Definitely hear crazy shit. But what I always tell people is you don't see it when you're in it.
Right.
So it's, right. You're not crazy. You didn't see it when you're in it. You kind of saw what you wanted to see and you made it when you made it. But I cannot tell you how many times I've sat in a room and it's typically women that have said this to me, although a fair amount of men have also said this to me. I was like, you must think that I'm crazy or an asshole or an idiot to have sat through all of this and not seen this coming. It's like, no, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I heard a great thing once that I think is so absolutely true. And it's just, it's sort of a great piece of advice, which is you don't divorce the person that you married.
Yeah.
The person that you deal with in a divorce is very different from the person that you married. Because
that is very true.
And I think we all learn that. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure. Like the person that you split from is not the same person that you were like, I want to spend my life with you. The person that you're getting divorced from is the person you're like, get the fuck away. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just an amicable, you know, which is understandable as well, but it's like two different people.
I know that it does happen. You know, my practice, I did high conflict divorce, so it didn't really happen within my practice. Like even the non-acrimonious divorces were super complicated and non-acrimonious for my standards, but it does happen. It does happen where people just say it's not working. Let's figure it out. But by and large, the people that come to me are the people that really need help.
Right. Well, so that's something we can start with. I thought a really good question that one of the mamas asked was, what questions should, you know, should we ask lawyers during a consultation? Like, what are the questions that you would recommend that anyone getting divorced, and this goes for dads too, what questions should they ask?
So the most important thing about finding a divorce attorney is that this is an exceedingly personal thing that you're going through.
Right.
You know, it's not just like a business litigation or anything like that. It involves your family, it involves your children, if you have children, it involves your life. Mm-hmm. And you need to find somebody that you're comfortable with, because most attorneys, not every attorney, but most attorneys are really competent in terms of, if they're going to take on a divorce case, chances are they know what the law says. And they can tell you roughly what you ought to be, what you ought to get in a monetarily out of a divorce situation. But yeah, you're going to have to tell people probably uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
So you need to find somebody that you feel comfortable letting it out. Now, I know, Celia, I know that's not necessarily an issue for you.
No.
but for, you know, there's a certain segment of the population that is much more secretive in terms of what they want or what they need. And a lot of what I do is talking people down from the edge and trying to convince people to, you know, do what is likely in their best interest. Mm-hmm. So what kind of questions you ask? Get to know the person. Because this is a person that you're going to be talking about deeply personal things, talking about your kids, talking, you know, about what do you want your life to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Real questions that you would be really discussing with a life partner rather than just an attorney.
Okay.
The things that I would be wary of when speaking with an attorney is any attorney that promises results. Mm. Any attorney that says, I'll get you this, I'll get you that, they're selling you.
Right.
And they're selling you because they think they're going to make money off your case.
Okay.
Celia, you can attest to this. When I give advice, it's, in my experience, this is likely what a judge would do. But you, the other side of it,
absolutes.
Is
this. Yeah, you never get
never absolute. No. And it's always a range.
Oh, Lord knows, I've gone into court and been like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It happens. And, you know, in family law, there's very, very rarely is there a home run. You know, it's very rarely it's all or nothing. It's stand-up doubles. Like, that's sort of, if you can hit a stand-up double in court, that is a win in family law. It's not like criminal law where it's guilty, not guilty. It's one side or the other. It's really, do you get a little bit more than you ought to?
It's moving chess pieces around on a board strategically in order to, you know, and it's particularly when there's kids involved, like it's so, you know, it's really, you know, it is hard, but I do, I mean, it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in dealing with attorneys and divorce attorneys and stuff like that, like you, I think it's also really important to tell people, like, you have to be honest, like be completely honest.
Yeah.
Divorce attorneys have heard it all.
Right.
You know, if there's been infidelity, if there's been abuse, if there's been, like, just, you have to talk about it because it's all going to come out in court and you don't want your attorney to be surprised.
Absolutely. Like, that's the worst thing to happen. Worst thing that can happen as an attorney is to hear something for the first time in a courtroom.
Right.
That's the worst. It happens. And it happens all the time, but it's the worst thing. You want to know what the ugly truth is walking in.
Right.
And if somebody tells you you don't have a good case for something, that doesn't necessarily mean you should go with an attorney that says that you've got a good case for something.
Okay.
Because you may not. It may be more beneficial for you to go with the person that says, you don't have a good case, but here's what we can do.
Okay.
You know, the asking questions about, like, do you win most of your cases, or do you, you know, what do you think this is going to cost? Any attorney that gives you a straight answer for what is this going to cost in a divorce case, that this is going to cost you whatever, like, you know, oh, this is only going to cost you $25,000 in total, is lie.
Right.
Because
you're always going back.
You're always going back. And the thing that, what I always tell people is, you know, it's not going to depend on me. It's likely not going to depend on you. It's going to depend on your partner or your ex-partner.
Right.
Because if they start asking for, like, I'm not going to let you as a client ask for something that I think is outlandish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it doesn't benefit anybody to go do that.
It only serves to stir up the shit, you know? Right.
Absolutely. Which, you know, it sometimes it strategically, it may make sense to do that because, you know, you may want X, so you argue about Y, so that X seems more reasonable. Right. But by and large, it doesn't make sense to do that monetarily unless you're talking about really, really big dollars.
Well, I don't know about any of you, but with my hair, the drugstore is not my friend. I keep going back. I can't find a shampoo or conditioner that is good for my hair. You know, I never look like the girls on the pictures of the shampoo. And I realized that my hair needs a more customized formula to make it look great. And that is where Function of Beauty comes in. Function of Beauty is the world leader in customizable beauty, offering 100% custom solutions just for you. I cannot say enough about how much I love my shampoo, my conditioner, my leave-in conditioner, my lotion, and my hair serum from Function of Beauty. Honestly, I use it every day, love it so much. And here is how it works. First, you take a quiz. But throughout the quiz, you tell them a little bit about your hair goals, and you can even choose the color and the fragrance that you prefer. I am so obsessed with their pear, peach, and cherry blossoms fragrance. I can't even. I mean, honestly, it's the best. Next, Function of Beauty's team determines the right blend of ingredients, then bottles your custom formula to order. They even deliver your personalized formula right to your door in a cute, customized bottle. And they print your name on it, along with pumps, stickers, and little gifts. And they even have detailed instruction card, like telling you exactly how to do your hair care regimen. I love that so much. Function of Beauty uses only clean ingredients and all of their formulas are vegan and cruelty-free, which is extremely important to me. They never use sulfates, parabens, or any other harmful ingredients. And wow, has my hair seen a difference because of that. There are over 50,000 real 5-star reviews and counting. And Function of Beauty now offers a new skincare line. It's the same quality and customization that you expect. And now it's for your skincare. I mean, come on. It's so good. Like I said, the lotion, my skin has never been softer and it smells amazing. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/say this to take your quiz and save 20% off on your first hair care order. Again, go to functionofbeauty.com/say this to let them know that you heard about it from our show, Never Thought I'd Say This, to get 20% off of your hair care order. One more time, that's functionofbeauty.com/say this. Telling you, you will not be disappointed.
Asking you like at different points, like, you know, hey, can I put this into the judgment? And you were like, well, no, because there's no way to make sure that, you know, there's no way to monitor it, whether or not that happened, you know, like there were right. Definitely things that I just assumed that, you know, I was allowed to ask and put in the judgment and like, they aren't enforceable. And I didn't know what I was doing. So that's why it was helpful to know that, you know?
I definitely think that one of the things that, you know, I have learned
from my divorces.
And it's not something I'm ashamed of. Like I did it and it didn't work and I didn't
right.
fuck
you tried.
It. Also, you know, yeah, people comment all the time. They're like, why don't you get another divorce? I'm like, I wrote a fucking book about it.
I know. Fuck off.
Anyway, one of the things that I definitely have learned though in this process is that it's probably not going to feel fair.
Yeah.
it's not, you know, you're going to go into it and be like, this is what I should get. And you're going to walk away probably disappointed and maybe a little pissed off. And probably both sides will feel like that. And then that's sort of where you find the middle ground and the judgment. But don't go into court and be like, this is going to be so fair because finally a judge is going to listen to me. They may not, and they may tell you and your attorney to not speak, as has happened to me before.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, just be prepared for that because it is frustrating because you think you're going to go in and it's going to be, you know, that and sometimes you don't get your point heard and you just have to move the fuck on.
And the thing in family laws, I'm not sure if, I mean, this isn't true in every state, but it certainly is.
Should say that you're speaking from a California state stance, which is different.
From a California state, and I've got limited experience with some other states. But that's why I'm going to talk about like really big generalities and not, you know, under community property law, you're going to get this. But by and large, family court is heard by a judge and not by a jury.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is true in most jurisdictions. And so you've got to think the judge is just one person and just one person who in a robe. They're a judge, but it's just a person. It's just some dude.
Right.
Who's, you know, and I use dude in the California mean.
In the,
you know,
right. As woman,
male or female, right?
Whoever.
They're all dudes. Whoever. My dog who's on the couch is dude. They're just a dude in a robe. And on any given day, let's say this dude had a shitty, like slept shittily last night or ate Indian food and like just wants to get off the bench because you're, you know, they got a run. And it may not be your day. And anything can happen in court. You know, if you've got a 90% chance of winning, there's still a 10% chance that you lose.
Right.
And that's a real 10% chance. You know, that's, it's never impossible to lose. And judges, sometimes you'll win on an issue and then, you know, you'll relitigate it later on. You'll lose on the issue. It depends on the day. So again, I'll come back to, it's just important that you have an attorney that you can talk to and you trust as a human being.
Well, I'll tell you that the two most popular sort of themes that came up in Mamas, You Won't Be Surprised by Them, and one of which, you know, I think Jody and I both know the answer, but certainly, you know, I think everyone should hear it from you. First thing was a lot of people asked, you know, what do judges look at when determining custody? And I know that most people don't realize that custody versus parenting plans are something totally different. I didn't know that because I'm a child of divorce and custody was a very different thing when I was a kid as what it is now. And most mamas that I've talked to, even in, you know, when I'm counseling them and tell me, you know, I want full custody of my kid, I'm like, I say, you're not going to like what I have to say, but that's never going to happen. Right. And they're like shocked that it doesn't, like, you know. So you can tell the difference, please.
Right. So in California, there are two different types of custody. And then there's a thing which is parenting time. So there's physical custody, legal custody, and parenting time. Physical custody is basically decision-making authority as to where a child lives. Mm-hmm. Legal custody is was decisions regarding health, safety, and welfare, which is non-emergency medical care, where a kid goes to school when they get older, whether they get a passport or whether they get a driver's license, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And those have no bearing as to how much time a child spends with either parent.
Right.
So you can have joint physical custody, joint legal custody, and a kid can spend 95% of their time with one parent.
Right. That's an interesting number. Yeah.
Right. So they're just different concepts and they come into play in some more complex family law scenarios that aren't worth going down that rabbit hole of like, well, if you have this, but not this, then you can do that. It's not worth doing that in those situations, but just generally those are the types of things that you're dealing with. The other thing is that it's very unlikely that a parent is going to be completely cut out of a kid's life.
Right.
Which means that you're likely going to end up with less time than you were hoping, even if, you know, if it's somebody, you know, he's never had the kids overnight. He's never spent taking the kids for more than 2 hours at a time. Any of those situations, they're going to still spend a lot of time with their kid.
Right.
And it's going to suck, but it happens.
And I think that's the thing too, is like, what I really want people to think about too, is when they're going through divorces, like, don't, you can't target the person intentionally with taking their children away to hurt right. them because you're mad.
Right.
That's, you know, you have to be able to remove your own emotions from things at times and be able to look at what is best for the child. I don't want to be around this person, but it's still my kid's parent.
Right.
Right. That's that. Yeah. That's a big thing, but the taking the emotion out of it, you can't.
No.
And telling people to take the emotion out of it, I think does a disservice to the people going through it, because you know the way that people make decisions is in the emotional part of their brain. They do brain scans and do all things. You make a decision in the emotional part of your brain. It's then filtered through the logical part of your brain, which can veto the decision. But before you've even realized that you've made a conscious decision, the decision's already been made in your brain and the emotional part of your brain. So we are emotional creatures at our core.
Right.
And you have these emotions.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mostly get inside now, but I don't know. You know, I've just come.
And Dan Harmon, who was one of the creators of Community and one of the creators of Rick and Morty, among other things, had a great line about depression that I use frequently, which is your feelings are real, but they're not reality.
Yes.
Right.
Feelings are not facts.
Right. They're not.
We say that a lot in 12-step programs. Feelings are not right. facts.
You say
feelings
that a lot.
They're legitimate feelings, but that doesn't mean that's actually what's happening in the world.
Right. Absolutely. And it's going and know at least cognitively that your experience of a divorce is going to be filtered through emotion. And it's okay that it's filtered through emotion, but know that other people are not going to be filtering it through the same set of emotions that you are.
And not to always act on that emotion, as both right. of you have stopped me from doing before.
I mean, yeah.
So
I've definitely been like, don't say that. Don't do it. Please don't.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't do it.
She sometimes, I mean, not for nothing, you know, there are times that she helps me respond in my text, which I know I said before the show, I was going to tell that story, but you know, that very recently I had to contact you, Aaron, but I had gone to Jody first because my ex was asking for some very specific things on my parenting time, COVID related, you know, and then it was getting to be a bit much and I was feeling very overwhelmed about all of it. And so I, you know, asked Jody and she was like, your parenting time is your parenting time. You don't have to, you know, you don't actually have to tell him anything about what you're doing on your parenting time, unless, you know, you're about to like,
unless it's medical or
so, right, exactly. Unless it's that legal way. And, you know, and then I, you know, and I figured that was probably true, but I was like, I'm going to reach out to Aaron and ask him this question anyway, at which point, you know, we talked and you walked me through it. And like you always do, you're like, I couldn't say for sure that a judge wouldn't say, but it'd be very unlikely. I later wrote Jody and told her that. I was like, just so you know, you were right. She just wrote back and she goes, God damn it. After three divorces, if I had been wrong, I would have felt really fucking stupid. As well. He would have acted like I didn't get this text.
Sure. It's yeah. I mean that, yeah. There's a few things I feel like at this point I should know.
It was very
I know what I, yeah, I know what an OSC is. I know what an ex parte is. I, you know, a few things you learn along the
way. Yeah.
Okay, so well, we have some more questions, though, and I know that
yeah, there's you. Well, so I think the long and the short of it, I guess, is
what does a judge
don't look at, you know, what determines custody necessarily, unless you've kind of killed somebody, and even then,
right,
yeah, you know,
right. But what judges look at, every jurisdiction is going to have a different way of framing this.
Okay,
California's got a way, Nevada's got a way, Texas has a way. They all have a different way of framing it, but in every instance, they're going to look to what is in the best interest of this child.
Right.
And then they're going to start with that premise and then work from their decision as to what is best for this child and then extract that through the legal framework to give you the custody order that they want to give you. But they're going to start with that premise always.
Always.
And
right.
They're going to be looking at it child first. At least they ought to.
Yeah.
And
right.
Most family law judges are going to be doing that, but they're going to be looking at it as child first, parents second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. The other questions, as you can imagine, are much more financially based. The one that came up the most was basically a version of, is it true that the partner who makes more will have to pay the other person? How does that work? I think that is in regards to both alimony, which is not always a given, and child support would be my guess.
So this states very wildly as to what entitlements for both spousal and child support are. Mm-hmm. I can talk about California mostly because that's where I practice. Mm-hmm. So in California, the partner that is making less money is going to get spousal support.
Okay.
So the presumption is that you're going to obtain spousal support for one half the duration of marriage. Now that's based on another assumption that is that it will take you one half the duration of marriage to become self-supporting. So you're married for 8 years, you get 4 years of spousal support.
Okay.
Then you hear the magic number of 10 years. 10 years is also called like a marriage of long duration in California. There's some case law that can stretch it before or after based upon the circumstances. So in the cases that there's some cases where it's 9 years and 10 and a half months.
Okay.
That was considered a marriage of long duration. But in those situations of a marriage of long duration, it's presumed to take you a lifetime to become self-supporting.
Okay.
So therefore, spousal support is not permanent. It's indefinite. And that may seem like a distinction without a difference. But the short version of what that means is that you will just keep getting support until death of either party, remarriage of the party earning less, or a change in circumstances. The change of circumstances could be person with money retires, the person that doesn't have as much money starts earning more. There is some case law that says that you have to make reasonable efforts to become self-supporting. Mm-hmm. And if you're not making reasonable efforts, then a court does have jurisdiction to terminate support.
Okay.
Well, the holidays are fast approaching, and I think that I've made it really clear that I am hoping for something from my best friend called a love book. A love book is a personalized gift that helps people express feelings that might be difficult to say out loud. I think most people, you know, like to use love book because that is a way that they can revisit their fondest memories, and you can list the reasons why you love someone, like Jody might want to list the reasons why she loves me when she hears this ad. You know, why not? Love books are completely customizable and people can use them however they like. You don't have to make one for your best friend. They are the best gift, I think, for anniversaries, a gift for, you know, your partner just because you want to say how much you love them, or a Hanukkah gift or a Christmas gift. Hanukkah is happening right now and Christmas is very, 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 very fast approaching. I've made them for my kids. They love them. I'm so happy that they have them. I think it's such a nice keepsake. And, you know, it's pretty awesome because users can create characters that look just like themselves and the recipient. And, you know, you can add all the features that make us unique. You can even choose your favorite hairstyle and pick outfits. So it's pretty amazing. And while you do have the option to personalize each page as much as you want to, they also have an express option and you can create a complete book in just minutes. Love books are the perfect gift for any occasion, but honestly, especially for anniversaries, birthdays, Christmas, and Hanukkah. So if you'd like to create a love book, especially if you're Jody Sweetin and you'd like to create one for me, Celia Behar, then, you know, you visit lovebookonline.com/say this to receive a special 20% off discount only for our listeners. Again, that's lovebookonline.com/say this.
Child support in California is a algebraic equation. You can go into the family code and it will give you a line of numbers and text that's this plus this minus this divided by this equals.
You basically in, and I know this from experience, you basically input a bunch of numbers and see what the fuck comes out. And then you try and go back and forth with some range around that number.
And then exactly. It depends on how much parenting time you each have.
So yeah, so the big things that move those numbers the most are the income of both parties, and this is pre-tax income, the amount of parenting time you have with the kid. And those are things that really move the needle. Now, the things that people argue about is like, how much income does somebody really have?
Right. That's another question that came up.
Yes.
That's where you get more nuance. Is in terms of what numbers you're going to be putting into the child support calculation. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it child support is child support.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are situations where you can waive spousal support, correct? Because I know that that's
absolutely. You can waive spousal support. You cannot waive child support. There are ways to work around awarding child support. But you cannot waive child support because it is not a parent's right. It is a child's right.
Yes.
But there's a situation where we say it's in the child's best interest not to award child support at this time because both parents will provide for the child when they're in their care.
Right.
That's in situations where it may be the sort of thing where like one parent would cut another parent like a check for $15 a month sort of thing. Where they say it's not worth going through all of that. And I'll just take care of him when he's with me. You take care of him when he's with you. And then you go on from there. But you can absolutely waive spousal support. That's one of the things that you can do in a judgment. You can also do that in a prenup.
You can also keep it open, right? If memory serves, you can keep it open so that if you guys were making the same amount of money during that time, so spousal support wasn't really an option. If you've been married over 10 years, if one of you ends up making a lot more, you can come back and say, okay, now I want the spousal support.
Yeah. Right. So basically in those situations, it's not the court retains jurisdiction to award spousal support at another date. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiving spousal support is just set at zero.
Gotcha.
Again, this is all sort of fancy language that attorneys use to make really simple concepts much more difficult.
Right.
Well, but if you're going into it blind, that kind of stuff I found out, you know, when we were going through it all, like, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. And I didn't know that was a thing. And, you know, it's like, you don't even know, which is why I think they were, you know, moms have asked like, well, what questions should we ask? What you just brought up was something that, you know, about the, like, what do they look for in finances was definitely brought up. It was kind of amazing how many times it ended up coming up, because it didn't just get posted. It also got, PM'd to me what about like people hiding money? Like, how do you find out if, you know, and I actually know the answer. I know that Jody probably does too. How do you find out if your, you know, soon to be ex is hiding money, and are they allowed to hide assets and like sign over businesses and cars and your house and, you know, and hide bank accounts and that kind of thing? And I think I know the answer to this one, or lower their hours of work on purpose so that they don't have to pay as much as they think they're going to have to based on income.
So a few questions in there. Can people hide money? They can try.
Right.
I've been in practice for over a decade and have yet to find somebody that has successfully hid money through the finality of a proceeding.
Okay.
Because we'll find it.
Wow.
And we'll make it really difficult for the other person, for the person that was trying to hide it. And it always ends poorly.
Okay. Right?
They can be sanctioned. You know, there are remedies for hiding money. You have obligations to your spouse both during the marriage and during a dissolution process, where if you own your spouse or ex-spouse a fiduciary duty, that basically means you have a heightened duty of care. It's the kind of situation where like a doctor owes a heightened duty of care to a patient, or a trustee of a trust owns a higher duty of care to the beneficiary of a trust. They just have a special relationship that makes it so that they have to be exceedingly honest. And when they're not exceedingly honest, they can be hammered.
Okay.
And there are situations where you could lose the entirety of an asset. So there's a famous case in California where somebody buys a lottery ticket and wins the lottery. doesn't tell their spouse, moves to divorce them, tries to hide the money.
Oh my God.
Doesn't tell them about the money.
Yeah.
Then husband who had hidden away the ticket, wife finds out, oh my God, he won the lottery while we were married. I should have gotten half of it. Wife goes and says, you know what? As a penalty, the statute says I can get that whole asset. I want all of it. And oh my she God. Got it.
Why was that not me?
Damn it.
And
I got an old coffee table, but whatever. Sorry.
It's same thing. You're living the same life.
I know. No, same life. Yeah.
Can they do it? They can certainly try, but under decent scrutiny, it just doesn't hold up.
Okay.
It's never perfect.
Right. And it's just not worth it to try and hide. It's like,
it's really not. Chances are,
you can hire someone, right? You can hire a financial
forensic accountant. They will go do a deep dive and say, like, this doesn't make sense. But there's always, you know, especially since 9/11, there's a lot more banking records that are available.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really hard for things to go. You know, even when people move money overseas, you can still find it.
Wow.
You know, there are some places that are black holes, but what you do is, you know, somebody says, I've got no money, but they just bought a new Ferrari, and they say, oh no, my cousin bought it for me, or I'm borrowing it, or anything like that. You can have a forensic accountant do what's called an outflow analysis, which basically, instead of seeing how much money somebody has coming in, you see how much money is going out.
Okay.
So if somebody is saying, listen, I only make $5,000 a month, but they're spending $20,000 a month and have no debt, you say this person has at least $20,000 a month.
Right.
So you can back into it that way. And by and large, it really never pans out to try and hide it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I hope they heard that. And then as far as people trying to sign away their assets or, you know, lower their hours of work so that they don't have to pay as much.
So in terms of signing away assets, you can join the person to the proceeding. So what frequently happens, when this happens, it's usually either a close family friend or a family member, because very rarely do you just sign something off to no one.
Right.
And again, that's a breach of fiduciary duty, and you can try and recapture the whole thing.
Okay.
And this can get very complicated when third parties are involved, because third party can say, no, this is mine now. I'm going to protect my interest in it. And then you have a whole other set of litigants in it. But by and large, those fraudulent transfers don't hold up.
Okay.
And the last question is, what if somebody reduces their hours?
Yeah.
They would have to do it for a long time before. So courts are, there are cases that say you go back a year, you take 3 years, you take seven years. Courts, especially like right now, courts are really cognizant that people's earnings are very different over the last 8 months than they were before that.
Okay.
And courts are looking, especially in situation like child support, it's easy to come back in and fix it. To come back in and say, you know, they were making $10,000 a month when we signed this judgment, they're making $15,000 a month now. Stick the number back into the DISO master and spits out a new support number.
Or sometimes making less. I know I've had to do that too.
Or less.
Making a bunch of money and then it's like, I am making shit right now and I don't
Yeah. Right. Child support's a much easier change than is spousal support.
Okay.
Just because there are more factors that go in.
You mean still awful and painful between the parties.
Yeah.
Sometimes it pays to make it difficult.
Yeah.
We all know how essential early learning programs need to be for our children right now. And that's why so many people are turning to Homer. Homer takes kids on a learning journey personalized to their age, interests, and learning level. It boosts their confidence and it grows with them as they build skills for school and life. Plus, every Homer product is research-based, kid-tested, and thoughtfully designed for growing minds. There are two amazing ways that you can engage with the Homer Learning Program. First one is the Learn and Grow app, which builds skills across multiple subjects through thousands of activities that kids love. And then the second is Homer's Explore Kits. That takes the impact of the digital learning program and enhances it with the power of hands-on play, giving kids opportunities to deepen the skills that they're learning in the app through real-life practice and pretend play. That is so important. Our kids need to not just be on screens, they need to have hands-on learning as well. You know, as families continue to face the challenges of distance and hybrid learning, this is a program that really can fit into learning plans, and it keeps kids engaged and excited about learning by weaving in key values. And it's just amazing. You know, my young daughter, Lulu, she is so into Homer. She thinks it's so great. It keeps her engaged when she's bored with school. This is a way that I can get her to be more on board. She goes on Homer and she's, you know, just fueled by things that have helped her interest grow and really, really deepen her love of learning. There are interactive learning sessions with Homer's stories and activities. And it's just so cool that she gets a chance to have these learning activities across multiple subject areas that are important for school and for life, like reading and math, social emotional learning, which, you know, right now especially is very, very important, creativity and thinking skills. Homer's Learn and Grow app is ad-free, so nobody has to worry about a kid coming and asking you to buy something. It's safe, it's easy to use with kid-friendly navigation. It's perfect for independent play. And, you know, instead of my daughter scrolling through YouTube or watching TV, Homer is keeping her engaged with educational content and activities that she actually wants to do. And that also gives me a little break at home so that I can shower or even drink my coffee when it's hot. I love the fact that Homer is research-based. It's powered by the Homer method, the most effective way for your child to learn. It's expert-designed, it's research-backed and kid-tested, and it builds critical skills for school and life, like I said. Their Learn and Grow app is proven to increase reading scores by 74% with just 15 minutes per day. And I'll tell you, ever since my daughter started using Homer, she wants to read more than she ever has before. And I love that. And I think that part of it is because Homer builds confidence through skills. Kids are really proud of what they've learned and, you know, what their parents are seeing, like I just said. So it's really amazing. And if you've got little kids, you know, this is great. It starts at age 2. So it's just perfect. You know, you can watch your kid master tracing letters and number operations, and they can, you know, tell you what colors and shapes, all of these things where they can say, I did it. And you as a parent can watch them do that and share that with them, which is just so amazing. I can't say enough about Homer. I think it's such an important thing to have right now. Between, you know, the digital app and the Explore Kits, you really can't go wrong. It's so amazing. You will love it. And I hope that everyone that has young kids will try it. And if you want to, all you have to do is visit learnwithhomer, that's HOMER.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial. Again, that is learnwithhomer.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial.
Another person, another one actually asked, I thought, a pretty good question about, it kind of falls into this. I mean, maybe you kind of answered it, but, you know, someone was like, asked like, what are some of the shady loopholes that you've seen people get away with and how can we protect ourselves from them? So some of them you've actually already addressed.
So get away with?
Yeah.
Haven't.
You haven't really?
Yeah. No, I've never had somebody where somebody got away with it.
Wow.
And but granted, remember, I've been involved in divorce cases where they were spending $1 million a month in attorney in legal fees. Just so crazy. These, you know, I've never seen anybody, to my knowledge, I've never seen anybody actually get away with it.
Wow.
Because judges have seen it before and most attorneys have seen it before. And there's always a, like a paper trail, you know, they know that something was there before. Like land doesn't get up and walk away.
No.
You know, business filings change. Like I had a case when I was a baby attorney, where like I once spent probably 2 to 3 months digging through SEC filings to pull people's names, like from, you know, deals that they had made as part of a private equity firm overseas to say, I know from your contract that we got from the business over here that your compensation for this should have been X million, you know, should have been $30 million from this deal. Where did that money go?
I hate when I do that.
And then,
where the fuck did it go? Oh my God, I don't know where it went.
Yeah. I lost it at the supermarket.
Right. And then as an attorney, all I need to do is raise that seat. As soon as I convince a judge that that $30 million existed, it's their job to come up with it.
Right.
So the loopholes for them hiding it, they're really, in terms of getting away with it, they won't. People, I've seen every kind of trick or connivance that there is. People putting money into out-of-state trusts, into other people's names, either an Alaskan trust or a Florida trust or a Bermudan trust, or moving money to a bank in Luxembourg. Or Luxembourg is, so Swiss banks after the 2008 economic downfall are much more responsive to subpoenas, which is nice. Luxembourg is a black hole, but it's usually, you're usually able to capture money going out. And then as soon as you say that it went out, then you kick the burden over to them to disprove it. By and large, they can't really do those sorts of things.
My mom was convinced that my dad had Swiss bank accounts, and she used to say that to us all the time when we were.
I've had that issue. I'm like,
Well, let me also say that my dad still has his 1990 Toyota Corolla in his garage. It runs and
fucking run forever.
Yeah, but because he has so much money, as a Swiss bank account, that's what he's doing, and he refused to ever go to, you know, flat screen TVs. So he's got like the little TVs with 5,000 cords.
Is your dad Warren Buffett?
I mean, obviously. Like he was right on there.
He drives like an old car and sort of lives like a normal.
Yeah, he just, yeah.
That's just, you know, just
fucking ridiculous. All right, wait, I have a question, because I know we'll probably run out of time soon, even though we could have probably have asked like 1,000 more, but I have a question. Okay. I'm dying to know, and without, obviously, I don't want you to breach any sort of confidentiality. What's the craziest fucking thing you've heard during a divorce, or had to like, you know, an asset that somebody like really wanted during a divorce that, you know, they fought over? Like, what's the War of the Roses?
What's like the craziest thing that I've dealt with? Like people wanting.
Oh, yeah. Split? I want to know that too.
I wrote a parenting plan for a dog.
What?
Yep. See.
At a firm that I was at, somebody wrote a parenting plan for a bird. I was not part of that one. That one was pretty.
How did custody exchanges go with the bird? It was the cage.
I had one where it was like, you know, really, they always say like, we're not going to argue about pots and pans, and like where they were literally arguing about like, no, that was my pot from my mother. I'm like, you're paying me $400 an hour to argue about a $20 pan.
I'll buy it for you.
Right. I'll do it. You know, it's the only thing that I got to sell is my time. Right. So if you want me to argue that pot
is really important to you.
Right. That pot's really important to you.
All the things that you've heard. I know we started out by saying, you know, we had to, you know, you have to disclose a lot to, you know, lawyer. I obviously, when I just had to disclose a bunch of things to you, I was happy when you said to me at the end of it, nothing you just told me is something I've heard everything you've said before. Like I found that was comforting to me. I liked that. Honest to God though, has there been something that like someone's disclosed to you that you've actually had to like bite your tongue and like sit on your hands and just put on the like dad face where you're like, even though in your head you're like screaming, holy shit.
Oh, absolutely.
What is it? Can we know?
I can tell you some of it. Some of it would be
a breach.
So
don't get disbarred on the show, Aaron.
There's a great story that I cannot tell, because in order to be able to tell the story, I have to tell you who the person is for the story to make sense. Can't do that. So I had a case again when I was a baby attorney, where husband was a real estate developer and they had a mansion in Beverly Hills. Wife says, I'm going to my mom's house in Palm Springs for a long weekend. When I come back, I want you gone.
Okay.
Once you leave the house, though, it's not yours anymore, right?
No, it still is, but it gets better. So she goes for 3 days. She comes back, and he's had a crew come in and build a wall down the center of the house.
Oh my God!
I'm not talking about like, you know, just a little bit of drywall. I'm talking about like sheetrock and studs, like down the center of the house. Subdivided their Beverly Hills mansion into two homes.
Oh my God. Is that legal?
We got him to pay to have it fixed, but that was one of the crazier stunts that I
that's the next level shit. That's just petty. I admire that level of petty. I wouldn't do it, but that takes some, like, you know what?
Fuck you.
This.
Yeah.
And his response was, I get half the house. So
that's what I mean. Just gives no fucks. Just fuck it.
Exactly. The partner on the case was just angry. I thought it was goddamn hilarious.
Yeah,
I had to go in and fix it. But like that was.
I mean, that is next level. That's commitment.
I haven't seen anything else. I've seen people move money around in exceedingly creative ways. But that's probably the moment that made me go,
that is building a wall in the house. That's,
yeah. I mean, I've heard stories of abuse and people cheating and,
right.
You know, I like it. I had a case that involved like a real sex addict.
Oof.
Where, it had put prostitutes on payroll.
That's bold.
But had the receipts for all of it and was able to say, here's, you know, they say, where'd all this money go? And it was like, it went to prostitutes. And I can prove it. I've got the stubs. But that was, you know, a lot of people say like they're a sex addict when they try and say that they were cheating, but it's like when you meet somebody that's a real sex addict, it's a very, very different situation.
It's actually quite dark and
it was, it's
actually quite sad.
Destructive.
Can we build a wall? Is it a problem to build a wall to keep your children on the other side if it's like short enough that you can see them,
right?
But you guys are on that side,
right?
I see no legal issues with that.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to
just
know.
Throw some food over now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, right. Half of the kitchen will be theirs. They'll get a pantry.
Right.
And half of the pot on the stove.
Yeah.
You'll give them a pot.
Mine will be clean and not full of dried up ramen noodles. I'll tell you that.
You know, I was like walking through my house and like we're here all the time. So we try and keep it as clean as we can, like vacuuming like at least once a week, doing all that sorts of thing. And I stepped on a dried piece of rice. Like, and I'm like, when was the last time we ate rice? And how is it like?
Right. You're like, oh my God, this hasn't been in my house for months. This is terrible. Right?
Well, I will say something about rice. I banned rice off of the menu when my kids were little, like little, when they couldn't eat it for that exact reason, because I just found it was like fucking everywhere for weeks.
Everywhere.
And I may or may not have changed the lyrics to Taylor Swift's We Are Never Getting Back Together to We Are Never Having Rice for Dinner, because I would find it in like their butt cracks like 3 days later. Like I'd be like, I don't even understand. Like, oh yeah, for real. Don't look at me like that.
So my bigger question is, did you put this in any of your legal documents that no rice was to be had by the children in case it came home?
In their butt cracks? No, that was one of those things that Aaron was like, you're never going to, I can't enforce that.
I can't enforce that.
Just give up on it.
But more importantly, you tried, Celia.
Obviously, I think we all know how sane I've been recently. I will say this, like I thought about this a lot, you know, when I was reading the comments from the mamas, because I know, you know, divorce is so hard. And I remember when my sister got divorced the first time, that, you know, before she got divorced, and she knew she wanted to get divorced, you know, much earlier than she did. And her reason for not getting divorced at first was, I never want to have to share my children with anybody else. Like, she didn't ever want them to be away from her. And then later when she finally got divorced, I was like, how has that changed? And she said, well, that's the moment that I knew I really couldn't stay in this marriage, is when I let that go. I had to know I was going to have to let that go because I needed to get out that bad. And for everybody, you know, I know that the kids being part of it obviously is the hardest part of a divorce. And it is that sharing, and it is going from being with your kids all the time to the first, you know, holiday that you don't have them, or the first morning that it's their birthday and they don't wake up in your house. And it is, you know, and Jody and I talk about this a lot, you know, alone, like it's something incredibly painful and hard. And you get used to it and you start just hoping that there'll be a lot of kids, you know, people on your children's team that root them on, regardless of whether you're married. And also as they get older, you're going to be like, awesome, get the fuck out of my house and go be with your dad, because Jesus Christ, I'm alone in this and you're making me goddamn crazy. So it gets better, is my point.
Yes, it can and it does.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's what I anyway, one thing I tell
Aaron,
my clients.
Do you have anything is that else this you want to like, you feel you, like moms need to know?
I was just saying, one thing that I tell my clients is, this is likely going to take longer than you want it to. It's likely going to cost more than you want it to. But I promise you at the end of it, you're going to be happier than at the beginning.
Yes. Yep. Yes. 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 I agree with that 100%.
Louis C.K., as much as he got Me Too'd, and rightfully got Me Too'd, but as much as he got Me Too'd, he has a great line about marriage and divorce, which is, no good marriage ever ended in divorce. Something important to keep in mind.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this stuff with us. It's not something anybody likes talking about, wants talking about.
Yeah.
But it's questions we all have, and it's quite, you know, and I think it's great to like normalize these conversations and be like, you know what, people get divorced, people get, you know, it's just right. A part of what happens sometimes. And it's
sometimes
okay.
Three times.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Just being a dick now.
Oh, I don't. on paper, I always say this, on paper, I'm a disaster. If you meet me in person, yes, I'm a disaster, but you like me generally. It's really like, if you just, once you meet me and don't look at just what's on the paper, you're like, oh, she's actually really cool. But like looking at it, just the facts is not cute.
So, I loved you even when it was just on paper.
Seriously, thank you so much for talking with us today. We really appreciate it. And that was, look at us. We did like an informative thought out podcast. We didn't fuck that up too much.
I know. People will probably think it wasn't really us. It's okay. Aaron, where can people find you if they are in California and they would like to hire you for any reason?
Well, right now I am quarantine dadding.
Right.
So I am currently not with a firm. So
oh, okay.
There you go.
If they want to find me,
they can ask me.
I'm around. They can still, yeah. But right now I got nothing to sell. Great.
You know what? If we want to refer people to you, like, you know, they can write to us, I assume, and we can do their information.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to have conversations with people and
great.
Send you people that I know and trust if it's not
great.
Me.
Awesome. Great. Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Aaron, for coming on today. And Celia, I'm proud of you for
Because Aaron said it's your duty so many times, and I didn't start laughing because I thought
part
about
of
it.
Yeah, part of it. That's a big part of it. It's like 80% of why I'm proud of you. Anyway,
I said fiduciary duty, which is even better.
Even better.
It took everything I had. You guys don't even know how hard it was.
Oh, I do.
No, Celia, tell us about how hard it is.
Yeah. How hard is it? It's so hard, Celia. It's so hard to not say
duty. Duty, basically. Fiduciary duty.
Oh boy. You were a child.
Sorry.
Anyway, if you guys want to follow us on social media, you can check us out on Instagram at Never Thought I'd Say This. You can follow me on my personal page, which is at Jody Sweeten. Celia, you are?
At the Celia Behar.
Yes. Yeah. The Celia Behar, because you're so fucking important.
I'm very important. Shut up.
And if you want to email us with more questions or things that you want to see on the show or tell us that we're, you know, wonderful and amazing, hate mail, please keep to yourselves. That won't happen.
They send it to my mom.
That's true. That's mom. Anyway, if you want to email us, you can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. And again, thank you for joining the show. We hope you maybe learned something today, as well as laughed a little bit at us at our own expense, because that's kind of what we do. Anyway, remember, guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Or your ex. Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.